Welcome to Conversations in Care, the flagship radio program of the CARE Radio Network. The radio program dedicated to covering senior health topics, chronic conditions, and self-care. Using the simple act of conversation, we can create awareness, establish a course of action, and design a community of support. Conversations in Care was created from the many conversations throughout her 18-year involvement as a dementia practitioner, care advocate, and your host, Tammy Newman.
Good evening and welcome to Conversations in Care. I'm really excited to be able to talk about home care this evening. As Tony just said before we got onto the show, this is one area that is really kind of misunderstood within the healthcare community. And I'm hoping that today with our guest Ashling Dalton-Kelly and a little bit of assistance with Tony Fisher, that we will really kind of work through some of those misconceptions of home care. But before I bring Ashling onto the show, there's a couple of things that I kind of wanted to talk about first. And of course, the very first thing that I'd like to do is I really want to thank all the sponsors that have been able to really help make Conversations in Care possible. So I'd like to thank Thrive Assisted Living, Hurricane Marketing Enterprises, Seniors Blue Book, and Private Duty Network. Without them, I would not be able to do one of the funnest things that I have enjoyed my whole entire life. So I am very thankful to them. Also, I wanted to let you know, since we're live here this evening, I really am welcoming anyone to call in with any questions that you might have and or even to tweet us. But first, if you would like to call and talk to myself, Ashling, or even Tony, the number to call is 646-478-4343. Once again, that's 646-478-4343. Also, Tony is going to be live tweeting during the show today, and you can follow Conversations in Care on Twitter at Care Radio, and we're using the hashtag CIC Live. So if you want to follow those hashtags as Tony's tweeting and kind of sharing that information about what we're talking about in regards to home care, please do so. And also, if you have a question, go right ahead and tweet that to us at Care Radio. So let's talk about home care. And before I do that, I want to introduce to you Ashling to the show. Ashling, welcome to Conversations in Care.
Thank you, Tammy, and thank you for having me on the show and giving me this opportunity to speak to everybody.
Oh, absolutely. Now, Ashling is the owner of a home care company here in the suburbs of Chicago called Ashling Companion Home Care. Now, I want her to share with us a little bit about her story and what kind of thrust her into wanting to start this business. So, Ashling, could you share that story with us?
I would love to. So I was the youngest of 10 daughters, born and raised in Ireland. And my father, at the age of 81, was diagnosed with terminal cancer. And as a family, we were all thrown into things kind of very fast and furious. And obviously my father was very frightened. The powerhouse of our family basically started to crumble, and he needed support. And through all of that experience, we spoke with doctors, and because his condition was terminal, Dad did not want to be in a facility, and we wanted to take care of him from home. So that's basically, as a family, what we did. We talked to the team, and we brought Dad home, and we nursed him every day with good food, brought him out for fresh air, had his friends come in and distract him. We had great doctors and hospice care to help him through the pain. And Dad lived a very, very, very full life up until the last day. And he was very happy. Every part of him was taken care of, not just spiritually, both physically, and surrounded by people that he loved. He transitioned, and it actually ended up being a beautiful situation for all of us to be involved in. And that's really when Ashling became home care came first into my head, that I thought I would really like to be able to help families, because when things like this happen, people panic and they actually don't know where to start. And it's not a good experience to try and start looking for help when you need it. You really need to look for it before you need it, and you need to educate yourself. And through that process, Tammy, my mom was diagnosed with dementia. So when we were trying to take care of our father, he was very aware what was going on with our mother, and she wasn't so aware what was going on with him. So a lot of dynamics went on at the same time. And as a family, we worked together to make sure that they were both taken care of from home, and it was a beautiful experience.
You know, and you're definitely probably the epitome of a long-distance caregiving situation, because this was happening in Ireland, is that correct?
Yes, yes. But my sisters, Tammy, were phenomenal with communicating. As in any situation, communication is key with families in order to take care of whether it's a sick child or a sick parent. And during the time that Dad, you know, was still alive, I did take the Atlantic 4 different times in the space of 5 months to spend as much time with them as possible and to help my family as well, because it was a challenge for all of us to do it full time, you know, continually.
Absolutely. And you said some really, really great things in regards to, you know, so many people are overwhelmed when it comes to that time to make any type of decision, whether it's a home care decision, hospice, or a nursing home decision, and that we really need to kind of be prepared for that. And I think that's one of the things that, you know, I hope to bring with Conversations in Care is to be able to provide some education to families when they're before they're going through this. And let's start this concept and this conversation about home care by, I'm hoping that you can kind of educate us in regards to home care, because we've got home care and then we've got what people will call skilled home care. And I'm hoping that maybe you can kind of break that down for us, what those two things mean.
Okay. So basically, if you have a home health coming to your home, home health is under the medical care of doctors and nurses. So there would be physical therapy, occupational therapy, all that sort of hands-on nursing care under the supervision of a doctor. So that's more the medical part of that. So home services, what I do, is totally non-medical. So we do everything that home health does not. Lots of times we'll work with home health in the home. We would be the people that are there on the ground every day, basically as personal assistants, assisting with the family and, of course, assisting with the person that is sick and needs the help. So two very different scenarios. People get confused an awful lot with that because when they see home services, they think, what exactly do you do? But we do not do anything medical. It is all personal services.
And when you say personal services, what does that include? Is that including passing or, you know, giving medication? Is that helping out around the house? What does that usually consist of?
What we can do is we're not permitted by the licensure that any home services agency has. We are not permitted to set up medication. So we will have the family set up the medication, and then our caregivers will oversee that the person that is sick or with dementia makes sure that they take their medicine at the right time. So we do provide the medicine reminders. We can help with showering or bathing. We can even help sponge bathe, maybe bring them to the sink side and do that. We can transport them if they need to go to a doctor's visit or maybe just go out to lunch with their friends. We absolutely can help with housework and closet organization, rearranging the food in the refrigerator, making sure everything is in date and not out of date, taking out the garbage, maybe walking the dog, all those kind of things that most of the elderly, when they're sick, they're not able to do. Or if they have dementia, they don't realize the clutter, things that are going on in the house because they're kind of out of their routine. And that's where we come in, that we can kind of run the house and take care of them all in a couple of hours every day.
Well, you know, honestly, it sounds like I need some of your services to help me around the house and organize. but, you know, I think there was one thing that you said. You alluded to the concept of licensure, and I think this is a really important concept because there are oftentimes people that are, if we want to call them fly-by-night companies, if we want to talk about, you know, and I do kind of want to cover in just a few minutes, you know, having a service such as yours versus, you know, having the cousin, you know, the cousin, the second cousin or some other family member or someone down the street doing that care piece. But tell us a little bit about the licensure and why that's important.
So under what I do, which is home services, I am licensed by IDPH, which is the Illinois Department of Public Health. I am a full service agency. So when people hire me, they get the real deal insofar as that our caregivers are actually my employees. They're not 1099ers. They are not people that we hire privately. We do not pay them cash. They are actually my employees, and we're an equal opportunity employer. We take care of the federal and the state taxes. We take care of workers' compensation, general liability. We take care of supervision of the caregiver in the home. We take care of the communication with the family and the caregiver back to us, so it's very important that we all communicate. And we do continuing education for the caregiver. So I like to call us like a one-stop shop, okay? So when you hire one of our caregivers, you don't have to worry about anything else. We take care of all of that for you, and usually you'll call us because that's the type of care that you want. You want Cadillac home care because you're already struggling with the loss of potentially a parent that's dying right in front of you, or they're in extreme pain, or they're not the person that they were and they need help. That's where we come in. Now, you can hire somebody privately, which a lot of people might do off Craigslist, or they might hire a neighbor down the street. There's also facilities that are called home placement agencies that are also licensed by the Illinois Department of Public Health, but they are just placement agencies. And that means basically that they place a caregiver in the home, but they are not the employer. In actual fact, you now become the employer. And that is the biggest misconception with, I would think, the consumers today, that they do not understand the difference. So in hiring a placement person or hiring somebody privately, are they cheaper? Yes, they are. But the long-term effects are not good because they're not covered. If anything were to happen to them in the house, you could be sued. The taxes are the person's responsibility that they're maybe not aware of, and you could be hit for back taxes. And more importantly than any of that, the stuff that I have just prefaced, you know, we fingerprint, background check, drug test, and supervise. And that's super, super, super important because you don't just want anybody coming into your home, especially for our elderly, because they're so trusting and they're so vulnerable. And they need to understand the risks, and unfortunately there are many, many risks and things that do happen that are not kosher, which you're not protected by if you hire somebody privately. And that's basically the two main differences, Tammy.
Well, you know, and I think there's a lot to be said for the importance of hiring someone, you know, a service such as yours, an actual home care company. And I think maybe we should talk a little bit further about that, because I think some of that really includes that training piece, because sometimes if you're hiring somebody off of Craigslist, you really don't know what it is that they're being trained on. And typically someone that is going to work for you, what is it that they're, what knowledge are they going to have that someone else may not have that you're hiring off of Craigslist?
Can you repeat that question, Tammy?
So my question is in regards to how your team is trained. What, why is it better for a family to really go with a home care company such as yours? And specifically in regards to that training piece, what are they getting and how are they trained versus someone off of Craigslist?
Okay. So we have special guidelines that we have to follow that is directed from IDPH. And the four basics that they're looking for is HIPAA compliance, number one, and infection control, fire and safety, roles and responsibilities, how to transfer. You know, they are all very, very, very important topics for the protection of the consumer. So when you hire somebody through an agency, whether it be mine or any other full home services agency, they are mandated to have to give that training. And it's not as simple as just putting on the training on a video. Me personally, we're big about the hands-on. Because in all reality, anybody can come in from Craigslist or off the street and tell you that they're qualified, but I want to see that. I want you to show me what you're able to do hands-on, because there is equipment that we use, for example, in home, maybe just like a Hoyer lift. That is not something that you can learn to use from a video. You need to do it hands-on. So, you know, when you hire somebody through an agency, most of the girls and the gentlemen that are in this line of work are already trained either by a previous agency or maybe they've worked in a hospital or in a facility. They still have to go through the training again. And the nice thing is that on an ongoing basis, for as long as that caregiver is with you, every single month they do in-services, and our state requires that they do 8. And I'm proud to say that our girls do 12 because they want to learn. They want to be more knowledgeable because they love what they do. Now, if you hire somebody, you know, off Craigslist, I don't know how you would know, A, where they've worked before, because who's background checking them? Where are their references coming from? How do you know that they're telling you the truth? How do you know that they have experience? Because, you know, a lot of people can present well, both in person and on paper, but that doesn't mean to say they're telling the truth. So there's many, many, many aspects in our hiring process where we really go to extreme lengths to make sure that everything is verified.
Absolutely. Ashley, what we're going to do is I want to go to a quick commercial break. And when we come back, I would like to talk a little bit more about the concept of the background checks and, you know, and some of the other things that, you know, definitely go along with having someone in your home, whether it's, you know, a conflict between the client and the healthcare worker or some of the emergencies that might pop up. So, you know, we'll talk about that as soon as we come back from commercial break.
Great.
And it looks like we might be having some technical difficulty with our commercial break. Nothing like doing a live show and having those difficulties. So I appreciate your patience with me. And Ashlyn, we're just going to jump right back in since my commercials aren't working for some reason this evening. So let's talk further about that. Let's talk a little bit about background checks. And, you know, definitely if somebody is coming in into your home off of Craigslist or off of, you know, maybe some other places where you're finding someone, you know, knowing that there's a good background check and knowing that there's someone that, you know, and I think one of my questions too is that if I'm hiring someone for my mother, say, for example, and you come to me and you say, you know, we've done that background check, am I able to ask for that and actually see that background check as well?
No, you wouldn't be, because, Tammy, we have access to some very sensitive information, and we do have a hookup, you know, with the Illinois State Police. So that would be very confidential information, so that would not be shared. However, I can share with you that if somebody does not come back with pretty much all green check marks, they would not be considered for hire.
Okay.
But you could not release that information to the consumer.
Okay. Now, what about things, because, you know, definitely sometimes, you know, when, you know, I imagine when I'm in the hospital, there's times where I'm like, oh my gosh, that nurse, I just do not like her. We are not getting along. And I'm sure within the realm of what you do, I'm sure there's caregivers and clients that sometimes just don't get along. And, you know, and I think this is an important question for families to ask. What is your policy for resolving those types of things?
Well, the way I see that is that it's like when you have a young baby at home and you hire a babysitter, it is a transitional period. It's very hard for a mother to go out to work and leave her young baby, and the baby cries and the babysitter is put on the spot and doesn't really know what to do because the baby wants its mom. Well, it's similar in our line of business, too, because a lot of times family hire us for their parents, but their parents don't want us there. So a lot of times we get a kickback, and it's not because the elderly person doesn't like us or our caregiver isn't nice. There's usually an underlying issue, and that is that the parent is mad that somebody's in their home. So what I tell people when we do our consultation is that this is a transition, and we do ask that you give at least 2 weeks for a caregiver who has just come into your home and wants to do a great job, but she's not a magician. She needs to learn about your dad. She needs to learn about his likes and his dislikes, what he likes to eat and how he likes things done. And there is nobody, Tammy, that can do that on day one. It is a process.
Right. Absolutely.
However, communication, like I spoke about earlier, is key. You cannot judge anybody in a 24-hour period. You need to give them time. If, however, after 3 or 4 days, things are just not working out, or maybe there is a clash in personalities, which very seldomly happens, but it does happen, then that is where you would call us and you would bring those concerns to the office staff here, and we would communicate with you, and we would either replace the caregiver and try and work things out. Most of the time, we don't have to do that. The odd time, maybe there is a conflict, and we will work with you. But it all comes back to communication. I'm a big advocate for the client, but I'm also a very big advocate also for my caregivers. And we communicate with our caregivers every single week so that we don't just drop them in a home and walk away. We want them to be happy, and we want them to do a good job for you. And we're going to check with you, and we're going to check with them. We're not waiting for 2 weeks to hear that nobody likes each other. We would be on top of that week one, and if we know there's issues, we would probably be working in the background to figure out, well, who would be a better match, or is this going to work out? And we would work with the family to see if that's going to happen.
Absolutely. And Aisling, I'm going to try one more time to kick it to commercial, and then once we come back, there's some other questions that I'd like to ask you in regards to home health care.
Sure.
All seniors and caregivers have one thing in common. They all want to age well and have a good quality of life. Fortunately, there are thousands of services available in the Chicagoland area to help you and your loved one maintain a high quality of life. The Seniors Blue Book is a free resource guide available at all Chicagoland Gen Care locations. The sole purpose of the Seniors Blue Book is to help guide and educate its readers about the myriad of services and organizations that are here to help seniors age well. The Seniors Blue Book lists over 50 categories of senior resources, senior housing, home health comparison grids, and editorials written by local professionals about issues like guardianship, reverse mortgage, and Cook and Will County aging services. Visit www.seniorsbluebook.com today. Are you struggling with day-to-day activities at home because of an illness or disability? Are you caring for a family member at home and find it impossible to keep up with the daily responsibilities of providing care? If this describes you, you are not alone. Private Duty Network can help. Our mission is to provide high-quality care through highly trained staff with a care plan designed to help your clients stay happy, healthy, and at home. Private Duty Network is a full-service private duty care provider assisting clients with everything from respite care to medication reminders. Our staff can come directly to the client's home or provide services in an independent or assisted living environment. For more information, visit our website at www.privatedutynetwork.com or call us toll-free at 888-378-2111. Private Duty Network, your care, your network.
If you are just joining us on Conversations in Care, I have the lovely Aisling Dalton Kelly with me, and we're talking about home care. Now, before we step back into this, if you have a question and would like to have one of us answer that, you can definitely give us a call at 646 646-478-4343. Or if you're someone that loves to be on Twitter, go right ahead. We're also live tweeting right now. You can find us at Care Radio. And we're using the hashtag today, hashtag CIC Live. So if you've got a question, go right ahead and send that over to us. So, Ashling, thank you for being with us today and sharing all this information. And I think one of the things that's really important is for families to know what are some of the things that they should really be looking for when they're looking at non-medical home care. What are some important things they should look for in an agency?
I personally feel that when you're looking for an agency, you know, word of mouth is the best form of advertising that anybody can give you. However, if you don't have that, most people are probably going to go onto the web and Google maybe agencies in the area of where they're looking for care. And Google, you know, is wonderful for throwing all of those licensed agencies up to you. And from there, for me, if it was care that I was looking for my mom and dad, then I would navigate to the ones that are demographically and geographically close to where I need care. And from there, then I would look and see, you know, who are they accredited with? You know, what are people saying about this agency? And I would look to see if there's any testimonials on their website from previous clients who have used them. I would look and see... I would look and see if there's any personal touches, stories that would jump out at me that would encourage me to call them. And then from there, obviously, I would be looking to see, you know, if they are licensed and if they are the employer of the caregivers and how they train and what they look for in a caregiver. And then I would put all of that together and you know, pick up the phone and then call and speak to whoever is on the other end of that phone and get a feel for what type of agency they are.
You know, I think those are some really great points. And, you know, I think gathering that information and looking at that information, seeing those testimonials and, you know, and then, you know, coming up with, you know, my thing too is looking in the area that's close to you. And then I think those testimonials are key. But I think then what happens is that interview process, whether it's, you know, how are they answering the phone? How are they following through with everything? To, you know, are they willing to help you to contact or, you know, connect you with another family member that might share some of their experiences as well?
Sure.
So if
you don't have access to a computer, you know, you should reach out to, again, the community that you're looking for care, maybe through senior centers or through townships, through your churches. Ask your pastors or people in that area if they know of any good agency, or can you be directed to such places. I also know that, you know, here in Orland Park, where I'm based out of, there's so many magazines and books like the Senior Blue Book and books like Lifestyle. There's so many resources out there for people that maybe do not have a computer, and at many times a lot of our elderly don't and don't even know how to navigate on. So they wouldn't find your agency potentially on a website. So, you know, I would look in the newspapers and magazines, the Senior Blue Books, all of those things to try and educate myself and figure out, okay, where can I start?
Absolutely. I think those are some really great places to start that investigation. But I think it's really important for people to understand that that's where you started and that you really need to make those phone calls and really talk to people before you make that final decision.
I think too, Tammy, if I could make this point, you know, here in Illinois, we have over 676 agencies that do what I do. I do feel that if you're looking for a very top-notch agency, I really do believe that the ones that are in the HCAOA do hold themselves to, you know, a higher accountability. They have phenomenal services. It's called the HCAOA, which is short for Home Care Association of America. And I do believe that if you're really looking for a top-notch agency, you should be looking for that.
So, and is that something, can people go to their website to get a list of the members in their area?
They can. They can go to hcaoa.org, and all the providers will be listed directly from there.
That's fabulous. Aisling, before I let you go, I want you to share with us a little bit about Aisling Companion Home Care.
Okay, so we are based out of Orland Park. Obviously, we're privately owned, so I can cover DuPage, Cook, and Will County. We have clients all over, some near and some not so near. We are 24/7 on call, and we can provide many different types of services. Our minimum service is 4 hours, three times a week. So our minimum service is 12 hours. And beyond that, that's where I tell people to start, and if they need us more, then they can up their hours as needed. We can do night shifts only. We can do continuous by the hour, 24 hours around the clock, or a more price-friendly cost for families would be to have caregivers that live in, and we do offer those as well. Our office hours are 8 a.m. to 4 every day, and we have a wonderful website, which if your listeners would like to go on to, it gives a very good idea of who I am and what I stand for and why I started this agency, and I'm so incredibly proud of, you know, it and my staff who do a wonderful job. And that can be found at www.aislingcare.com. We have a Facebook page if your listeners would like to go to that. It's facebook.com/Aislingcare. And we would be happy to answer any questions for any of your listeners that maybe you're starting in this journey and actually don't know where to start. That doesn't mean you have to use me. We are happy to give you any resources or information that we can. And sometimes, Tammy, we're not the agency for everybody. I would be happy to pass out names of my colleagues that are in HCAOA that may be more closer to where you need service and they can help. And what we do in that facility also is if I do get a call and I cannot find a caregiver to cover that particular job, we do give work to one another because we all know each other. So that's a beautiful thing and something you probably won't see a lot of today.
Absolutely. And Aisling, I want to thank you so much for taking some time out of your busy schedule to spend it with us today.
Thank you, Tammy, so much for having me on.
You're welcome. I want to let everyone know a little bit more about Aisling Home Care, and I'll put this information on my Facebook page. But Aisling has done a really fantastic job of really educating her caregivers, and not only in the basics that she talked about in regards to things such as transfers and things of that nature, but she's also done some really great training in regards to dementia, and she also has a couple of great programs that deal with memory and dementia, and also a great exercise program called Ageless Grace that she provides to them as well. So look on my Facebook page, facebook.com/conversationsincare, and you can find out a little bit more about Aisling Companion Home Care. So without further ado, I'm going to bring Tony, my associate producer, on. And last week, we talked about some of the changes that are possibly on the horizon for Obamacare. And I'm hoping that, Tony, you can kind of fill us in because we're kind of waiting for some changes. Can you share and tell us and help us understand this?
Yeah, just for those who might have missed it, last week, the Supreme Court is now hearing a case that could change the face of Obamacare or the Affordable Care Act, depending on what you like to call it by. It is in front of the Supreme Court right now, and the decision could be detrimental to as many as 8 million Americans who are receiving subsidies for Obamacare insurance. The crux of the matter is the attorneys who are arguing for a number of individual complainants, but also backed by some conservative groups and things of that nature, are bringing forward the claim that the Obamacare legislation violates the Constitution by offering subsidies to states and forcing subsidies on people within states who did not wish to set up and become a part of or set up their own healthcare insurance marketplace. Just real quick, not to bore everybody, but when Obamacare first started, there wasn't healthcare.org that was in the plan, but really the original law intended each state to have its own marketplace. There was only 17 states that opted in on that, and the other states did not because they did not want to be forced to make decisions or force their citizens to make decisions about choosing any particular health care coverage. Of course, that was mostly on party lines, but still, that is the crux of the case that's before the Supreme Court today. So if the Supreme Court fines for the folks who are bringing the case forward, then that could jeopardize the funding and the subsidies for the 8 billion people who have insurance coverage. Now, those people could still pay the entire premium themselves without the subsidy, which would mean probably about, I think the latest figure I saw here from the New York Times here was $264 additionally per month for your health care insurance, and you could still continue to pay those premiums. But the vast majority of folks will probably just let their healthcare coverage lack and lapse because of they won't be able to afford that. So definitely a number of things in play here for folks who have Obamacare coverage right now.
Absolutely, and I'm sorry, it's me the host butting in here, but I'm understanding this correctly, so I just kind of want to paraphrase this a little bit, and you can tell me if I've hit the mark, if I haven't hit the mark. So those of us that have gone to the website and we have purchased our healthcare insurance from the marketplace. So we go to the marketplace, and we also learned that there's a formula that happens that you can get tax credits to pay for your insurance. So what will happen with that whole the concept of the tax credits? Will that no longer be in play because some of these states aren't doing it separately, or how does that all pan out for us? Will it just crumble?
real simple. The tax cuts and whatever subsidies, some states offer that subsidy, as far as a deduction on the monthly payment, and they kind of spread the tax cut out over the entire year for you, reducing your premium. Others have end of the year tax cut or tax incentives as well. Those will go away because the entity funding those incentives is the federal government. So what you will see is a dramatic increase in your premiums based on the plan that you chose through the healthcare insurance marketplace.
This is absolutely awful.
Yes, it is. And once again, Americans and Americans' well-being is becoming a political football, and that's essentially exactly what's happening here. I don't care if you're a Republican or you're a Democrat. It doesn't really matter what side of the aisle you walk on or if you're an independent or what have you. All that goes away when you're sitting in a hospital room and you're sick and you're wondering who's going to pay the bill. Or if you're sitting in an ER or in an urgent care and you can't be seen by a doctor because you don't have insurance. Or you're not getting the same care as some of the other folks who have insurance might be getting. You don't feel like you have enough power over your own health because you don't have insurance. It doesn't really matter who that person is. It doesn't matter what political affiliation they have. And once again, it's becoming an arguing match between the Republicans and the Democrats in relation to funding individual free market choices. When at the end of the day, both sides need to come to a compromise for the sake of the American people and the folks who have they have now taken advantage of. There's some 8 million folks who will be affected by an adverse ruling by the Supreme Court.
Absolutely. And, you know, you and I definitely sit on opposite sides of the political fence consistently. There's no doubt about that, but I think
we'll let the listeners decide after listening to us here over the next few weeks who is who.
Yeah, I think they'll figure that out pretty quickly. But yeah, I think that's probably the one thing that we definitely agree on is that this becoming, like you said, the political football between both sides, both parties. And, you know, to me, it's so detrimental because, you know, one of the things that we need to look at is, you know, health and, you know, the things that can be done preventively, you know, and by having insurance, you can get these preventative services. By having insurance and going to see a doctor, you can find out things that are happening or, you know, get cancer in its earlier stages rather than its later stages. And it's what it could potentially do to our healthcare system. It could potentially crush it. And that to me is a very, very scary concept. And, you know, I don't know that, you know, you or I will be able to, you know, make this, we have to wait and to see what the Supreme Court is going to decide with this. And do you know if there, and maybe this is something they wouldn't even talk about yet, but if this were to happen, are they looking at the potentials of what we can do for all the 8 million people that it could affect?
You know what? They haven't even started digging into that. They're still I read an article today on Politico. If you go to Politico, they have a good write-up about Republicans and mulling reconciliation and how that they could, in reconciling the budget, because the Republicans are now the controlling party in both the House and the Senate, in reconciling the budget, they could cut funding to Obamacare as well as a way to kind of do it in that way as well. So, you know, I don't think, long story short and short answer to your question, you know, I don't think anyone's looking at how to fix it right now, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. They're looking at the dollars and cents of it, and one side feels it's a worthy cost, and the other side feels it's a worthy endeavor, but not at any cost.
Absolutely.
And I think that's where we're at with that. You know, if you're a Republican and you were for free market choices and everything, and which is why you were maybe against the Obamacare coverage, and you can go into personal freedom and everything else. But at the end of the day, the whole saying that they have, you know, you can't put the toothpaste back in the tube. Folks have already gotten health care coverage. They've
right.
already signed up for it. And I think one of the biggest benefits of the Affordable Care Act is the one you pointed out, of folks getting that preventative care. I have some familiarity with the Obamacare coverage. And, you know, anything preventative, you know, mammograms, you know, physicals, physicals for both, you know, adults and children, special tests that are used for preventative measures, they're all covered 100% by the
mm-hmm.
Affordable Care Act. And that wasn't always the case before. So if there is any one huge beneficial thing, and you definitely hit the nail on the head when you talked about the preventative medicine, because that is something that people weren't getting before. And when those numbers come out, because there are studies being done on that, when those exact numbers come out as from the people who took advantage of getting the preventative care as opposed to when they had insurance as opposed to when they didn't, I'm sure you'll find the numbers very encouraging in the fact that Americans, because they have coverage, are getting more preventative care.
Yeah, you know, and I think, you know, it goes, you know, that the concept of, you know, if we can get these preventative services, then the money that we save down the road, that where we may have caught a cancer earlier or any of those other types of things. I think that's something that is really important for us to really look at. And one of the reasons that, you know, I've always felt that there needs to be some changes in healthcare. And I've always known that it was going to be a bumpy road, no matter what route we take or how we go about doing it. But, you know, I think the importance there is really looking at how all these preventative services can really help all of us and help our healthcare system as we move forward. So,
yeah, and I think people who have listened to us before, Tammy, know that, you know, you and I are both, you know, extreme advocates for the patient and patient rights and the patient having control and say over their own health care. And people need to exercise that same control over their health care by going to the ballot box. And I don't care who you vote for, whether it's Democrat or Republican, going to the ballot box, making a turnout, exercising your right as an American citizen, getting involved, at least involved in relation to understanding what the debate is and understanding how this affects you going forward. Because whether, you know, the healthcare legislation itself was groundbreaking in relation to your rights as an American citizen and things that you have and may not have control over in the future, it also is terribly affecting many Americans in relation to their long-term health and preventative medicine. And if you like those things, you need to go and make your opinion known, whether you're Democrat, Republican, Independent. It doesn't matter. It's time for Americans to start getting involved in the debate. And it's terrible that the early debate on the Affordable Care Act was framed by, you know, media sound bites and short clips of people having shouting matches and screaming at their senators during town hall meetings. It's too bad that it was framed that way, because there were a lot of people at those town hall meetings that had legitimate questions that, unfortunately, they weren't answered by either party. It's a complete, from this perspective, it's a complete disaster that if the Supreme Court overturns Obamacare and sends all those subsidies back to the federal government, and people are suddenly without health care insurance, it's not even going to be a crisis for the White House. It's going to be a crisis for both the House and the Senate. And not any of those elected officials will look good coming out of this. It's in their best interest to fix it, which is, you know, they always don't even, you know, politicians don't always do what's in their own best interest sometimes, as far as, you know, pride and party lines and everything else. But, you know, I hope they get it right this time, or at least make an effort to try to solve the problem before calamity strikes.
Absolutely. Well, I think I have figured out what the solution to this problem is.
Yeah?
I have. So I think we just need to get Olivia Pope from Scandal involved, and she'll solve it to everybody's best interest. So.
Yeah. And you know what? It's funny that you bring that up, because there's so many it is. The inner workings of this are the makings of a TV show. And the thing is that most people are focused on pop culture things like, you know, TV shows and fictional workings of government, when, you know, they need to really get involved in the actual workings of their government before something really bad happens.
Absolutely. Now, Tony, we have a few minutes left in the show, and I was wondering if I could you know, since we do have a few minutes left and you're kind of my captive on the show at the moment, I was hoping, because I know you have some experience within home care, but you also have some experience on the skilled side of home care. And I was wondering if you have any insight to share with us before we close out the show in regards to, you know, how we can go about really finding a quality skilled home care or medical home care company that could really meet the needs of our loved ones.
Sure. And, you know, first I want to say, like you, I appreciate Ashley coming on the show and explaining those things as well. She brought up many good points that are really difficult for me to tag on to, other than to say just a couple of points of clarification about things outside of Illinois. And this kind of is the root of a problem for understanding home care services when you're talking about it from state to state, because they don't call the services the same thing from state to state. Like if you were to search for that Ashling Home Cares type of service in Illinois, you would search health services companies. If you were to search those types of services in Michigan, you would search for private duty care companies. So the lingo is different from state to state, and I'm not sure if we're going to be able to change that. But it's important to understand whatever state you're in and wherever you call home when you're listening to us on this podcast, you make yourself understand the different lingo that is involved in your state. Now, kind of boil it down to what the differences are, it all has to do with doctor prescription and direction. So as you were alluding to, Tammy, skilled home care services are normally under a doctor's direction, and skilled home care services is a Medicare term. So it's kind of universal from state to state, because Medicare often funds home health or skilled home care services. So what you need to do is you could look for a skilled home care company or ask your doctor for skilled home care, and your doctor must prescribe it and prescribe the disciplines involved and also be involved through the entire home care certification period, which is 60 days, give or take, depending on the person's condition. So in their response to therapy or nursing treatment, basically healing based on for the reason that they've needed the home care service in the first place. So if you're there for therapy, you're able to walk better and have mobility. If you have home health nursing for wounds on your legs or after a surgery, it's the healing of the wounds that would be the determining factor of how long the certification period lasts. But it's important to understand that the skilled part is medically directed by a physician, and the home help, health services, private duty care, folks, any care that's not medically certified or prescribed by a doctor falls into those categories.
You know, you are correct. I think there's a lot of, there's so many different terminologies from state to state, even sometimes from county to county in states. And, you know, it makes this entire process very difficult. And I think one of the most important things that I think we can take out of today's show is that it's really important to educate yourself. And whether that education is first doing some Google searches and understanding it that way, and then moving on to talking to some of these companies directly to find out what it is, working with a care manager, working with your physician, you know, working with some of those people as well. You know, listening to shows like mine or reading mm-hmm. blogs that really can kind of walk you through some of this to kind of start, you know, clearing some of that fog in regards to these concepts. So I appreciate you kind of clarifying a little bit in regards to whether it's a, you know, a home care service, a non-medical home care service, or a medical home care service as well.
And I'm sorry, Tammy, the thing I really wanted to point out as well is you hit it on with, and Ashling hit on it, and you hit on it, communication. When you're making those phone calls, and you should make those phone calls, don't just choose one off of Google or off a testimonial on Google. You have to, because people can make those up, you have to call and maybe get an interview with a rep from one of those companies, or call on the phone and at least ask some pointed questions. Make sure you're comfortable with your caregiver, and the company that you're hiring and the potential caregiver they're going to send into your home. Only you can make those choices. Only you can decide what makes you comfortable as a family member. And I encourage everyone to exercise those rights.
Absolutely. Tony, I want to thank you for sharing with us some more on Obamacare and, you know, some more on the skilled home care. We're at that point where it's about time for us to say goodbye I might want to think about like adding some more time to this show. I'm having so much fun on Wednesday evenings doing this. However, I won't increase the show until after Empire's finished. So so that'll be at least a few more weeks before until that's finished. So anyway, thank you so much for being on the show and helping educate us in regards to some of these things.
Happy to be part of it, Tammy, and thanks to Dashling for her input today as well.
Absolutely. Thank you. And I want to thank everyone for taking time out of their evening to listen to Conversations in Care. I would be remiss if I did not thank these wonderful people, Thrive Assisted Living, Hurricane Marketing Enterprises, Seniors Blue Book, and Private Duty Network. They are my sponsors that really help me to push Conversations in Care forward as we start to talk about some really great topics and really talking about patients and caregivers and really talking about where that dialogue needs to go also with patient and practitioner as well. So one of the things that I've started on Conversations in Care is something called Hidden Gems. I am looking to uncover those hidden gems, whether it's a nonprofit that is doing some really wonderful work that we really don't know about, whether it's a blogger or a podcaster that's talking about things that we really need to talk about, but sometimes we're really afraid to talk about. I am looking for those people because I really am starting to put together a resource section that really is those hidden gems. Like, for example, if you receive my newsletter, I sent out a newsletter this week and I shared with you one of my favorite bloggers, and his name is Robert Bowles, and he's a gentleman with Lewy body dementia, and he is writing about his experience having that diagnosis, and it's a wonderful blog because we're getting to know what it's like from someone's point of view, and it's really wonderful as practitioners because we're learning stuff that we didn't know before. It's great for families because now you're really hearing the inside story and how you might be able to really work with them in a better and different way. So I really encourage you to share with me what those hidden gems are. So if you go to my website, www.conversations-in-care.com, and actually you can just go to Google, I almost called it Google, but Google and Google Conversations in Care, and it will pop up right there for you. Right on that front page, there's a box that says nominate your hidden gem. Click on that box and share with me who you think really needs to be recognized. What I'll be doing is I'll be sharing hidden gems weekly in the newsletter, but what I'll be doing is honoring two of those hidden gems every month. And with me honoring them, what will happen is they will be able to get a 30-second commercial that's on Conversations in Care, and that will run for 2 months. It's just my way of being able to try to give back and really to help people to find the resources that they need out there. So I really need you to do this. Go out there, Conversations in Care, look for hidden gems, nominate your favorite people. They can be in the United Kingdom. They can be here. I don't care where they're at. I just want to expose those hidden gems for everyone. I also want to let you know that we are always looking for new sponsors, and we have sponsorship opportunities at the low price of $50 on up. So reach out to me and I'll help you to get the word out about your business or your service. So I want to thank everyone for joining in the conversation, and be well.